You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Just a young gun with a quick fuse. I was uptight, wanna let loose. I was dreaming of bigger things.
Because Gunner was coming on, I wanted the chef to say that one of the two, either the foil or the non-foil way, was wrong. Unequivocally wrong. But he didn't say that, so stole some of my thunder. Yeah, thunder.
But he doesn't use the foil technique.
He had never heard of it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, me neither, man.
But I mean, in cooking with, here's what he said. You know, sometimes you can use foil to expedite the cooking process. Sometimes you can use it to save moisture. I said, well, doesn't that mean that your fire is too hot then? He said, well, maybe. He said, but not necessarily. He said, look, there's different strokes for different strokes, man. As long as it comes out and tastes good. He said, it's all good. And then he said, now look, he said, you said your friend burnt it. He said, but brisket's going to have, if you use a rub, it's going to have, he said, I call it bark. It's going to have, you know, that crisp on the outside. He said, and depending on the rub, it can look black. So back off your friend. I'm like, all right, man, this is not what I wanted to hear today. And so then he talked about a recipe doing a braised brisket that you can do in the oven.
Yeah.
If you're not in a position to do one in outside during the winter, that you can still enjoy brisket. The other thing, you know, Mike, one of the things I think I've talked about it before, but one of the things I enjoy about cooking, and I'm not a foodie like other people. I'm more of an eater than a foodie. But one of the things I enjoy is I enjoy the historical origin of different dishes. Okay? For instance, Mike talks about his grandma's tortillas that she made with lard, right?
Yeah.
All right. You want to know why she made them with lard? Because it was available, right? And it was cheap. And those people learned how to take those tripe, right? Stuff and things like that. They learned how to take things that nobody else was eating and make them into delicious meals.
Right.
And so I find those things kind of interesting. And he talked about, you know, the origin of that brisket originated in Texas. A lot of it was, it was a tougher cut of meat. And they used to do a lot of it historically on trail rides. And so they used it because it wasn't meat that was highly sought after, but they found a way to make it an incredible dish now. He said, if you want to stop traffic, just tell people you're cooking brisket and watch what happens.
Yeah.
And so I always find that, interesting whether they be, and most of it, they're all ethnic dishes. You talk about why the Poles make sausage and historically how that came about and the scarcity of meat and all the rest of that stuff. So I always find it interesting.
That's good. No, it's good. I've never had braised brisket. That would be kind of crazy, but braised short ribs are my favorite.
Braised short ribs? Well, then you should be all about braised brisket, yes? I would think.
I don't know if I'd like it that way, but we'll have to see. I might try it.
I'm happy today because of we're on the path to confrontation.
Or what?
Not you and me, but I'm happy because we're on the path to confrontation. And I don't mind confrontation. I think confrontation is not a bad thing. It can be a bad thing, but I don't think it necessarily is a bad thing. In this case, I think the president should burn it down relative to the southern border and immigration. Send the National Guard there. I saw an interview with one of the San Diego County commissioners. And she's talking about, like, what life is like in San Diego County. She represented a stretch of, I think, it's at 60 miles of border. She's like, it's a joke. It's a joke. When you can't control your border, what the people that live down there are subject to, she said, it's a joke. And so I hope the president, I hope he burns it down. San Diego County doesn't want to join a symbolic protest. They want to substantively protest what the state of California has done because it impacts their community directly. The people, when they're released, they tend to migrate to that area. And she said, so we have criminals that get out of jail, and there used to be recourse to get them, you know, out of the area. Now there is none, so they just come back. She said it's
right.
Wrong.
Crime rises, property values diminish, tourism becomes scarce. People stop. I mean, it's a bad business model.
Yeah, it's an awful business model. And you know, if you've ever been, Mike knows a lot of sheriffs down in Orange County and San Diego because he's worked with them. But when you talk to people that work in, and one of our buddies who will remain nameless, he works down there or spends some time down there. And the stories they tell you are mind blowing in terms of the stuff that goes on the border.
Yeah.
Crazy. Crazy stuff. And to include you know, like an armed reconnaissance, like into the United States, you know, to do bulk drug business and then, you know, and then move out of it.
Right.
What? Yeah, exactly. What? So,
yeah.
And then the other confrontation is with the Chinese. We need to just, like, throw the carcass out there and let's just be done with it. Let's we'll burn it down with the Chinese, and we need to get to a place where we don't have a $350 billion trade deficit with them because they won't allow American products in because it's so tightly regulated, but we are all about bringing Chinese products in the United States. And so to me at some point, yeah, at some point, when you dance with the devil, you got to sit back and look and say, you know what? This is probably not a good dance for me.
Yeah. The argument that they have, the left has, it takes away jobs. It's going to reduce jobs. And it's like, how in the world, when you don't have tariffs against an importer that's basically undercutting American businesses, that took away jobs. NAFTA took away jobs. Idiots. You know, when you have the North American Free Trade Agreement, that took away American jobs. It put the nail in the coffin on the car industry in the United States. And not to mention other industries, the steel industry, you know, all of that was basically killed because of what NAFTA did. When there's no regulatory on imports, we're not holding other countries to the same standard. So they can produce things cheaper. Why? Because they don't have OSHA and they don't have the EPA. They don't have these regulations and federal regulations. And, oh, by the way, they can pay per people, you know, pennies on the dollar when it comes to wages. And they have no medical care. You know, you get sick in these countries, you die. You know, so when they say we're going to put regulatory effect on there, and how does that diminish jobs? It doesn't work. I'm not an economist, but common sense tells me no, it can't. You know, how in the world? Well, because we use that steel and now we have to pay more money for the steel and, you know, now we have to reduce jobs. Well, then why don't you buy American steel? Because it's going to be cheaper. Oh, okay. So then we start buying American steel. Now the American companies have to hire more people. Wait a minute. So, I mean, it boggles my mind. You know, I was watching when China was talking about in 2025, they want to be the leading country when it comes to technology. they don't produce technology. They duplicate it. You know, you give them something, they'll tear it apart and they'll replicate it. They'll steal it. They don't produce it. China's not known for the leading world's authority when it comes to, you know, microprocessors. They don't invent it. They duplicate it.
People don't.
And they duplicate it cheap.
People don't realize it. You know, when you go to China, you don't see, like, you know, for instance, you go to Best Buy in the United States, you know, it's, you know, here's everything you can buy. You go to China, you see all these knockoff versions of movies and whatnot.
Oh, yeah.
So it's just, they've been doing it for decades. And now, though, the internet has allowed them what they could never achieve through espionage. And that is to,
right.
to go into, American technology and just steal it, blatantly steal it from companies, from the DOD, in unsecured websites they hack, and all the rest of it. And
right.
and so you look at their military technology, how they've made such strides, it's because their main effort, which is cyber warfare, works. And we haven't done shit about it. If anything, you know, again, what they've done with the model that the elder Bush put in place was, hey, if we bring them into the WTO, if we integrate them into the world economic markets more, then you'll see this other stuff go away. It's only getting worse.
No.
Because now we've pumped up their economy to where they can do everything. They have one aircraft carrier. It is right now out in the South China Sea trying to pretend that they're all that. Okay? And they're
right.
and they're pushing back. And so to me, the confrontation with China is overdue, you know, and we need to just stake out. This is, if it's going to be fair, it's going to be fair. It's going to be reciprocal, and it has to work like this. Trump said, look, I'm interested in knocking $100 billion off the $350 billion trade deficit. Wait a minute. If it's fair trade, shouldn't it sort of be reciprocal? Or do we not produce anything the Chinese are interested in consuming? It's a joke. It's a joke. It's a joke. The other, you know, Paul, is it Soldus, Duffel Blog? You know that guy, right?
Yeah.
I read something. Soldier. I read something he wrote, and the Marine Corps is still not at peace with the whole gender thing, I don't think. And I think that it's troublesome because it's like, there's political agendas at work, right? And so, Kate Germain, there's some people that want fully integrated boot camp. The Marine Corps has looked at that. They've talked to females. They've talked to their parents. I haven't had one female that's come on and said, yeah, I believe in completely integrated boot camp. They say, no. I think there's a purpose in allowing us by gender to get our feet underneath us for both men and women. I think that we could be better integrated in terms of female drill instructors with males, male drill instructors with females. We could solve that, and the Marine Corps is doing that. And so, but Mike, it bothers me that it doesn't seem like we'll tell the truth. And Soldus writes this big, he writes an article about the chauvinism that the Marine Corps fights and that doesn't like to talk about. And so, everybody fights that in an organization that is somewhere between 90 and 94% male on any given day.
Right.
Right? And that organization is also 60% of it is under the age of 25.
Right.
And we advertise that we're macho men. Right? Right? You want to be a badass? Join the Marine Corps. From the sands of Iwo Jima to the beaches at Tara to the coral reef at Tarawa, to the Navy leaving us on Guadalcanal, to the Chosin Reservoir, from Quezon to Hue, to Fallujah to Ramadi to the Helmand Province. If you think you're a badass, then come join us. Be the first. That's what we sell. So we sell this macho trip, and then we're not as accepting. But here's the problem. The reality when you serve with women is that they're weaker and they're slower. Now, there are some exceptions to that. But if you train with them, if you train them, that is simply the conclusion. The ground combat the gender integration study, the ground combat integration study that the Marine Corps did said that the top women were equal to the bottom 5% of the men in the study. Now, that isn't an indictment on anybody. That is simply the truth and the lay of the land. Yet we see...
We don't like the truth.
We don't like the truth. And Mike, so let me ask you a question. You are a... I'll be a first lieutenant male logistician in 2nd Battalion... No, in 2nd Battalion 1st Marines. All right? You're going to be a female captain logistician in 2nd Battalion 1st Marines. All right? And so, because now we're doing that stuff, okay? Battalion commander says, hey, we're gonna go hiking, right? And the route is right out of the back, right up Mount Motherfucker, right?
Yep.
If you're a female and you see the gear list, would you be comfortable or not comfortable with that?
Going up Mount Motherfucker, I'm very uncomfortable with that.
Right. Okay. And so now, you and I both fall out of the hike, right? So we're hiking and we both fall out. She is attempting it. She's trying to conform to the infantry battalion hiking standard and she's struggling. Should she be treated differently than I as a male first lieutenant who falls out of the same hike?
Treated differently?
Yeah. Should she be treated differently?
Yes.
See, but you can't have a double standard. So here she's doing more, right? She's at the high, high end in terms of humping that weight up those mountains. That's a ball buster for men, okay? And let me tell you, it's hilarious when you get guys from the East Coast that hump in California for the first time. So you're getting there, and everybody's getting their gear settled, and you start to walk, and like, are we going up that hill?
Yeah, I don't know.
And they look, and Marines tell them, no, we're turning off at the bottom of it. There's a trail. We're not going up that thing. And then you start up it, and they're like, mountain humping is not easy. I mean, for men, it's tough. And so, but if it's going to be one standard, then and you don't recognize the differences between the gender, which the Marine Corps doesn't, you know, we don't want to do that anymore, then she's got to be jammed on a fitness report or counseled adversely for failing to meet the unit standards relative to hiking.
Right, but see the whole so okay, but if you have a woman in an infantry platoon, She is going to have to perform exceptionally higher,
right,
as a woman just to meet with the average male. And then she's going to perform almost to the point of superhero,
right,
to perform at the top level.
Right.
So
no doubt.
It's hard to say.
But we don't like to talk about that. We have the standards.
But it's the truth.
I know, Mike, but the truth is not important here. What's important is all these different agendas. What's calling a spade, it, like, if I stood up and said, hey, look, I went through officer candidate school with women. I went through the basic school with women. I went back to the basic school as an instructor. I took women on patrols. I taught them squad in the attack, blah, 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 blah. I've seen them. They are weaker and slower in every phase of this. Can you imagine how that would play in Peoria? What? Wait a minute.
Yeah.
It's the truth. It doesn't look. I'm not saying anything bad about them, but there is a difference between men and women physically. So it's why we have different PFTs. It's why we can't have the same PFT. There has to be an affirmative action program for them physically, or else they won't be competitive for promotion. But it's like we don't want to have that truthful, honest conversation. We want to play pretend. We want to play pretend.
Right.
And then this seeps into the Marines United, the picture sharing shit. Mike and I will tell you, the people that do that bullshit are idiots. All right? They're idiots. And every branch of the service has them, and the Marine Corps is no different. Now there's
every group of society
has them. Right.
Don't just regulate this to military. This is not an endemic problem within the military. This is on college campuses and high schools. It's in workplace. It's anywhere where genders mix.
Let alone that you're 90% male.
Yeah.
And that's what the Marine Corps is, 90% male, and we're struggling with this environment that is welcoming to females. You know, and then again, in my opinion, the friction comes when you say, hey, look, they're interchangeable, they're Marines, blah, 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 blah. And then physically they don't do what male Marines do, and then male Marines get pissed. Right?
Right.
And so, but you can't talk about that. Hey, muscle man, you're going back out to 29 Palms to drive for the next CACs. I just got back from driving from the last one. Yeah, but McNamara got pregnant. She can't go, so you're going. God damn it, man. Why do I got to? And so those are real issues in those units, okay?
Right.
And so there's friction. And what male Marines get pissed at is when you walk in and say, we're all interchangeable pieces. Sometimes that's not true.
Well, yeah. No. You know.
Some MOSs, like, yes.
That's like saying the big Lego blocks are interchangeable with the little. No, they're still Legos, but the big blocks only go with big blocks, and the small blocks go with small blocks. You can't put the small ones on the big ones. You can't put the big ones on the small ones. The holes are different.
Right.
You know, they just don't lock up. So yes, they are both the category. They're both Legos, but they're not interchangeable.
And I was talking about this in the first hour because I read that. I couldn't sleep. I'm getting sick, so I woke up early this morning for some stupid reason. And so I read Kate Germano wrote Separate is Not Equal, and it ran in the New York Times. And so that's all, you know, the Marine Corps, again, in its ignoramus, right, Neanderthal way, blah, 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 all that bullshit. And then Solgus writes the environment, the male chauvinistic. And so to me, it's like, okay, look, we're struggling because we're trying to create this model where your job is to locate, close with, and destroy the enemies of the United States of America, to be the first to fight, to be hard, to be tough, to be all of that. But we want you to be... we want you to be welcoming, and we want you to be not macho. We want you to be humble. That's a tall order. Now the Marine Corps is tackling it, but it's like we don't like to talk about the truth, and I find that a little bit frustrating to me. And the example I used was female Marines that were part of the FET units, female engagement teams. They went out and patrolled with infantry units. Did they go out every day, Mike?
No.
Okay. Were they capable of going out every day?
No.
Okay. But they came back, and Jill Biden comes to Camp Pendleton. I get a phone call at Meth Headquarters Group. Hey, this is on the down low, but the Second Lady of the United States is coming, and she wants to meet with Marines. Okay, who does she want to meet with? She wants to meet with Marines that served in FET units in Afghanistan or Iraq. Is that it? Does she want to meet with families of wounded guys or any? No. Just that. Oh, okay. So it's like then it becomes a political agenda, and then and so I don't know. So I'm just this thing rears its head. And look, as long as we can speak truthfully, then I'm okay with it. But there seems to be this blowback in saying that there's a difference in gender, and as Mike said. And so to me, what's unfair is she's a female captain. She's putting on the same gear that I put on, right? And she's trying to get up Mount Motherfucker at Camp Pendleton. That's a tough girl, okay? And if she falls out of the hike, I don't know that she should be jammed. But if there's one standard, she should be.
And so, if there's one standard.
So I don't know how the Marine Corps, and I'll tell you what, if I was her, I'd be terrified, because when you fall out, Mike, right, we got two columns, so people that fall out, where do they fall out?
If they pass the XO, usually he's in the back, they get in the truck.
Right. But where are they? So in your, so in two columns on each side of the road, if you're falling out of the hike, where are physically?
Oh, on the outside. So you're falling out on the outside. You're not in the middle. You're on the outside. So everybody's passing you, looking at you.
Yeah.
And you got to do that shame walk.
And it is. It is. It's a, in a macho, you know, in a macho environment. And it is, you know, everybody looks at who is that? Oh, it's
yeah, dude. And I love the when they start falling out, they do the start the limping or the coughing or the tend to throw up. You know, it's like, oh, for crying out loud,
suck it
just,
up.
You're weak, and you're just weak.
And we're just talking about guys because we don't have the experience with women. You know, you look at guys that are doing it, and you hear their platoon sergeants and their squad leaders, you know, pulling them at times, you know, taking some of their equipment. You know, trying to get them to stay with the unit, and
oh yeah, I when I was a sergeant and stuff, when I used to do this, I would tie my backpack strip to his front H harness and pull him.
Yeah, not falling out.
You're not falling out. You're not going past. You know, you're staying right behind me. Look at the back of my helmet and make sure it stays right there. You know, in the same size in the relation of. So if you're doing that, then you're behind me.
And so, our,
you know, and that was whole mentality. We're not doing it to force guys out. We don't want them to do it. We'll, I mean, Mac, I can't tell you how many times, even though I was a gunner when I was humping with the battalions, you know, we'd take his pack. He would be slick. We'd take his rifle, we'd take his pack, we'd take his gear, we spread load it in unit, and we carry on.
Because that's what you
do. Guys aren't happy.
Because that's what you do, right?
We're not leaving anybody behind.
Marine Corps, right there. Right there. I saw a kid crawling, a kid named Porter, on his hands and knees. Doc said, Porter, you got to get in the truck. He said, Doc, I ain't getting in the truck. And so I went, he wasn't in my platoon, but he was a corporal. I humped by him on our way back to Margarita. And and I looked down at him, and I said, what's up, Porter? And he's like, hey, Lieutenant Mac. I said, don't get in that fucking cheese wagon, all right? I said we'll be on the grinder waiting for you, but don't get in that. He said, "Sir, I'm not. Somebody put a bullet in me before I get in that son of a bitch." And that's right. And he was he started getting cramps in his left calf, and so he started limping. And then, sure as shit, his right calf cramped up, and so he went down. And every time he'd walk, he'd take five steps. And the corpsman's begging him, "Porter, you got to get in the truck." And then and then all of his friends, all of his Lance Corporal buddies from the company, and he was a popular guy. They're walking by, hey, Corporal Port, what's up? And he'd look up like, hey, Benson, how you doing? Benson from St. Cloud, Minnesota, big as a house. Porter, don't get on that truck. You know, Benny, I ain't getting on it. And that's the banter that goes by of what it is to be in that. And so, I mean,
I broke my ankle one time. Coming back from a McCree hike back in the day when we used to do the 26 milers.
Right.
I had the bipods on my shoulder, 81 bipods, and those aren't light.
Right.
And I twisted my ankle in the stream coming back to Hornell. We had like literally, we were passing, where's the School of Infantry? What camp is that? San Onofre.
San Onofre.
We were passing Camp San Onofre. So Horno is just a couple miles more downstream, that dry riverbed.
Yeah, you're almost home. And,
yeah, and I twisted my ankle bad. I took a spill. I went down, and I got back up, and my ankle was throbbing. Oh, my God, it hurt so bad. I didn't know at the time, but I had fractured it. And so I got back up, and, you know, I was a Lance Corporal, and they looked at me right away, and I jumped. Got back on my feet, and I said, I'm good. And they took the bipods from me because they saw that I was hurt. So someone else carried them, you know. And I was kind of upset by that because it was like, I can do it. And they're like, no, just take the bipods. So I had my pack on. But I was limping, and the pain was excruciating. I get back. We get on the parade deck. We get the speech. We drop our packs. Hey, good job, boys. And then we're secured. We grab our packs, and that's the worst, man. When you take that pack off and you got to put it back on at the very end, that's when it hurts the most, man. You feel all the pain in your body.
Yeah.
So I'm limping back to my squad bay.
Along
I throw my pack on the ground.
Along with most other people.
And my squad leader comes up, and he's like, you okay? And I said, yeah, I'm fine. And he's like, go see Doc. So I go see Doc. I go to the BAS, Battalion Aid Station, and I'm in there. He's evaluating me. He's looking at me. And they send me off for x-rays at the RAS. And then I come back, and they're like, you got fractures, hairline fractures down your whatever that bone is down there. And, you know, we're going to have to put you in a soft cast. And I was like, I can't, soft cast looks pretty wimpy. Can you just put a bandage on it? And so Motrin, ice, and a big wrap, you know, almost look like a cast. And, you know, here's some crutches. I ain't going back on crutches, Doc. And so, you know, so I'm carrying my boot in my hand. I'm limping back to the spot bay. And, you know, of course, everybody's looking at me like, what happened? And then I'm like, I just twisted it. Well, the corpsman's our platoon corpsman, and he gets back and tells everybody, that dude, Musselman, just freaking basically broke his ankle, fractured it in more than one place, and still finished the hump. And, you know, and that was kind of cool. You know, I'm like, but, dude, you know, you look back at that, and you're like, who in their right mind does that?
Nobody.
Well, we do.
We do.
Well, we do.
Yeah.
You know, because it's you're not at all costs. I mean, you're willing to lay your life down for these guys. The least you can do is just continue to hike. I mean, you're carrying gear that they're requiring.
Well, let me ask you. So when you're in that world, what's the only way to fall out of the hike? It's to physically
die.
Yeah, to physically collapse. That's what they'll respect. If you physically collapse and you're unconscious and you can't move, you know, they're like, oh, that's legit. What's wrong with him? What's his problem?
Oh, yeah.
As they step over
what
you, what's his problem?
The policy that everybody that fell out, no matter what, they would tell him, if you fall out of this hike, when you get past the XO, before you get in a truck, the corpsman is taking that silver bullet up your ass. And they're like, what?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Oh, no. And they're like, as soon as they get to the XO, the corpsman would be standing there, and he'd have that big-ass thermometer, and he'd be waving it at him.
Come on, girlfriend. Come on, girlfriend.
Come on, come on. It's going in dry, boys. And they're like, ain't happening, Doc. And they just take off, man. You see that, I don't know what sparks them, but they're like, I ain't getting that silver bullet. You got to take the core temperature, and the best way to do it is up the butt.
That's no joke either. That's my mom. My mom's deal was if you're going to stay home from school, you know, as long, I'll give you an enema.
Rectal thermometer.
Yeah, no, I'll give you an enema, then you go back to bed. I'm like, what? Yeah, I shit my pants at school one day because I went to school sick because I wasn't gonna have the enema. Yeah, my mom knew what she was doing. The difficulty physically, I mean, could you imagine as wondering if you're going to be humiliated in front of the battalion and will you be able to do this? And you're trying to, you know, do something that most women don't. And I mean, that's got to be terrifying, professionally anyway.
Oh, yeah.
And yet.
Yes.
So I don't know that the Marine Corps has settled all of this. You know, is it okay for her to fall out, but not him to fall out? If there's one standard.
But see, that's why I said, they're going to have to be treated differently.
Right.
Because to expect her to perform at, I mean, that's.
Okay, but Mike. Okay, but let me ask you this. Now she's not the S4, she's a PFC, and she's the rifleman in the first fire team of the first squad of the first platoon.
Oh, yeah, same standard.
Of Alpha Company 1-1. Does she get a different standard?
Nope, she does not get a pass.
She doesn't. She got to do it.
Nope. Yeah, she put her name on that contract for infantry. No one else forced her to.
So I agree with Mike. So, we're uncomfortable with the truth relative to this issue. And then I had a captain by the name of Lawrence Serrano come on and said, hey, look, I don't want to be a grunt. I don't want to be a guy. I don't want to do a guy PFT. I don't want to do pull-ups. Like when I was in Afghanistan and I had a pull-up bar in my office, I could do 11 pull-ups. But I've had two kids. Am I going to get humiliated in the Marine Corps now because I can't be, because I'm not a wannabe guy? Is there still a place in the Marine Corps for a female mom type? Or do you not want me anymore?
Yeah.
And the answer was, no, we want you. But it's the discussion, I think, once it gets political and it's not about the truth, you have guys who just shut up and they won't. They're like, okay, look, this ship has sailed. Much like when the ground combat integration study came in, and the Secretary of the Navy said, yeah, that's a bullshit study to begin with. It was skewed from the start.
Yeah, and the other problem really too, Mac, comes into is the fact that once you start down that road, it's very, very hard to get back out of changing the standard. The standard will change. Because you can't have people failing all the time by gender. So you're going to have to reduce the standard to whatever the lowest common denominator is, and then that becomes the new standard. So everybody suffers from that.
But we said we weren't reducing standards.
It'll have to. You know it will be. We're talking truth here.
Jason Bohm just said the fact that IOC only grades 3 hikes and that you can fail on 6 of the 9 and still pass the course isn't about lowering standards.
Really?
I'm with you. But that's the kind of bullshit that you hear now. Look,
you know, when I was there, if you failed any hike, it was not good.
Everything was evaluated. You were out in that course, you were evaluated 24/7. So your conduct on liberty?
Yeah, I don't remember them saying you could pass 6 out of the 9 of events. No, it was you pass every goddamn event.
Right. And let me tell you, and I don't have a problem with like the double running of the O course and all that. You may not be able to do it when you get there, but by the time you leave, you'll do it or you won't leave. You'll stay until you do
it. Well, here's the question, Mac. So they're saying that, okay, so let's just take this. So 6 to the 9. I fail 6. I fail 3 out of the 9. So I still pass. I pass 6. I got 6 in the book, and I missed 3.
Right.
And we're both lieutenants, Mac, right? We're both going in the same MOS, you and me.
Right.
You pass all 9.
Right.
Are you going to get a much higher standing than I am when it comes out of that graduation class? So you'll be promoted before me. Or are we equal?
There's no way in hell we're equal in terms of lineal standing.
Well, I passed, Mac. I passed.
Is that all we give is P or F? So that the guy who is capable of leading the 9 hikes and helping other people on the hikes, is it in the same vertical place as somebody who dropped out of 6 and passed 3 and can't help anybody because other people are helping him or her?
He still passed. Yeah, is it a P and an F we're talking about?
I hope not.
Is that the event? Because if you're saying that it's not, then we are then segregating.
We are. We do. That's the point. We do, but we won't talk about it. Here's an interesting email. This is one of the days where you ass clowns honestly impress me. You guys are honest about shit that a lot of people don't like to talk about in private. So here's my question relative to your example. Why does the captain, logistician, get a different standard than the PFC female who's a rifleman in the first platoon of Alpha Company 1-1? I know the answer. In my opinion, the answer is, if I allow that, the answer is the PFC signed up for that. She volunteered to be a grunt. Okay? So she embraced that standard. The logistician may have got voluntold that she was going to 1-1 as we integrate staffs. She doesn't want to go to 1-1, but she's going to 1-1 because we're doing this to show everybody how above board and cool the Marine Corps is.
Right.
But is that fair? Doesn't sound fair to me.
Well, the world's not fair. We're trying to make the Marine Corps fair. You know? Yeah. Fair. Here's a great life lesson. All through the Marine Corps, we're going to make it as fair as possible. When you get out,
then it's not fair again. But we're trying to make the world fair too, though. You know, those the extreme left guys are trying to make everything fair.
Yeah, and what's most important is how you feel. How you feel.
Yes. Your emotions mean the most.
Yeah.
So I'm a bad guy when I teach my classes and say, I don't give a shit about your emotions. Your emotions.
Wait, here's another email.
I'm an insensitive cat.
You're really not, but Mike understands the requirement. To locate, close with, and destroy, that's when you see it, you never forget it. The courage it takes to run towards it and not away from it, that's no shit. And to know that some of us probably aren't going to be here at the end of the day, that's no shit.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't have to do that from a position of inferiority because we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Here's the email. First of all, I want to say that I've started integrating the word ass clowns into my vocabulary. I have not used that term in many years. I just want to thank your program for expanding my vocabulary. Second of all, it's my understanding, and I know you guys have been out for a few years, that in order to go to one of those units, you have to volunteer. You're not voluntold to go to that battalion. Can either one of you two corroborate that? I cannot. Interesting question.
If you're non-combat MOS, let's say you're an attachment.
Roger, if I'm a non-combat, let's just say I'm a supply gunny, and I get and there's a requirement for a gunnery sergeant in the S3 shop of 1st Battalion, 1st Marines, and I get told that I qualify.
Right.
Do I have to volunteer to go?
No.
I could just get orders. Hey, you're going.
Yeah. What? We talking about the same Marine Corps?
I'm talking about if I'm a female, am I gonna get compelled to meet that male standard?
I mean, I'm sure that there are people that ask, but when there's no one volunteering, then you get told.
Okay, so Mike, you see my point though. Let's just say I'm an average female Marine. I'm not a CrossFit person, right? I go through the PFT has been designated for me by the Marine Corps, and now I'm Assistant Ops Chief in 1-1. And now we're gonna hike, and I fall out of the hike, and I get counseled, and then I fall out of the next hike, and I'm trying as hard as I can, but I get my career gets jacked up because of that you assigned me to 1-1. I never wanted to go. I don't want to meet that standard of weight and distance relative to humping.
Right? Well, I don't know a grunt that likes to hump. So, I mean, join the club. I mean, but the point is, I mean, yeah, nothing that we do anywhere in this life that we live is fair. Anything. It's not fair that we didn't get to choose our parents. It's not fair that we didn't choose our upbringing or our, you know, our social, you know, position. It's not fair that we didn't get the opportunity to go to an Ivy school league college like everybody else. It's not fair that you make more than me. It's not fair that you drive a nicer car or have a bigger house. Go on and on and on and on. Sometimes those are the things that were dealt. And that's what you got to face, then show improvement. Hey, I'm going to an infantry unit. I better get my ass in shape. What I've been doing here is not going to cut it anymore.
Yeah, again, the problem is you got to be a stud. If you're a woman and you're going to do that, and if you don't volunteer for it, shit, man.
To join the Marine Corps as a woman, you better be a stud.
You are. Okay, you are, but then you're going to leave the female population and you're going to go to this male infantry population and you're going to go do that? As you
know,
you better be at the high end.
I know a lot of female Marines and a bunch of them that are officers. Some of them got out. that were exceptional in that category. You know, one of them, she was an intelligence officer, went in from MARSOC. Became the...
But, Mike, we're not talking onesies and twosies. Okay, I got it. There's exceptions. Okay, we're talking about the average female gunny going to throw on the weight you throw on and a pack and going to go up the mountains in the northern end of Camp Pendleton. It ain't happening.
Well, I'm not a... and I like the exceptional cat case because...
Yeah, well, that's where you fairy dust in the planet. That's not going to be the way it works for most women of that age. Hell, for most men of that age that tried to do that, they wouldn't be able to do it. It's called getting in humping shape. And as a Marine, you better be in decent shape, and it's hard. But the truth, I don't know the Marine Corps has squared up with the truth yet. In all these discussions, and I think there's political agendas and whatnot. Another email. This is the title of the email is Foil. Mac, I smoke a lot of meat. In the summer, I cover roast ribs and slow cooking meats with foil the last hour or two before the meat is done to keep the moisture in and not allow any more smoke. That's the only time I do that. But the majority of time during the process, the meat is uncovered. So I guess Montana Man and Gunner are both right. But bark is the burnt look. It's not burned. It's crust. Now I believe you need clarity on my Montana Man's version because he covers with foil the whole time or part of the time. We know Gunner's philosophy. All right. We'll have to get Montana Man on. He's a little upset yesterday. He called in after you got off.
We were
being too mean. He was getting drugged through the street about his whining, about sleeping on the floor. He's got his brother-in-law up
there.
That
was you.
Oh, now it's my fault?
That wasn't me.
That was you?
I just attacked him on the chainsaw thing.
He's got his brother-in-law up there who's a former colonel in the Army. And so I said, so between 05, 06, so you guys combined 011 up there, and you guys can't sort this shit out? He's like, we're struggling. Then I had the enlisted
guys. Well,
you
did the math wrong. When you get a colonel and a lieutenant colonel together, 05, 06, it's a subtraction, so you got an 01, you got a second lieutenant.
You know what? That's the new math. All right, what are you doing this weekend?
Yeah. Whenever you get two officers together, you subtract.
You don't add that together, especially when they're lofty, because who's going to do anything? They're just both going to talk a lot, right? And so when it comes to, like, somebody, like, lifting a shovel, well, who's going to do that? Oh, that would be you, Lieutenant Colonel. Oh, I'm sorry, Colonel. Yeah. You obviously don't understand what's going on here. What do you got going on this weekend?
I got the class tomorrow. It's the situational awareness class.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, so we shot a video today.
You did?
Class.
When are you going to share your website with everybody?
This is different. That's not that. This is not the same right now.
Okay. All right.
Not yet. Haven't added all that stuff in there yet. Man, it's a work in progress. You're right, man. The website's like, oof.
Check out the All Marine Radio website. That thing, I tuned that up the last 2 days. It looks great. So for those of you who haven't been lately, check it out. I'm extremely proud of the way it looks, and it's been 2 years of the making though to find the right ingredients to make it look this way. It's not easy. It's not easy.
Yeah.
But the other thing I will tell you is I go through and I look at all the different people that have been on this from the show going on at the end of 2 years. It's awesome. We've had some awesome people on this program. Mike's contribution 4 days a week is awesome. But there's nobody else that does what All Marine Radio does, and it's very cool. So, but let me tell you, the website is nothing but work to keep it up and make sure the content's good and make sure it looks good. And then not only do that, but then make sure it looks good on a telephone is another thing because that's how the majority of people access these days. So
that's right. So no, I'm at the I'm at the Petroleum Club right now.
Nice. What are we, patty melt? Are we going patty melt today? What do we have?
Petroleum Club?
Yeah.
Cheeseburger and crinkle cut fry.
What's a crystal cut fry? What's a crystal cut fry?
The crinkle cut. Oh. It's the one with the ridges.
Oh, that means they got them. They're frozen, man. That's all right.
I don't care because I like, why do I like crinkle cut than smooth? Because more surface area. They're stronger, they're crispier, and they hold more ketchup.
Yeah, ketchup and salt. I'm a fan.
Yeah, so salt will land in those little grooves. So crinkle cut is better in my eyes because, again, gives you more surface area. So the fry, it's actually, when you're eating a crinkle cut fry, a small one is actually bigger. If you stretched it out, you smoothed it out, it'd be a bigger fry. But when you're eating crinkle cut, you're eating more fry.
There you have it, Mike Lawson.
You got more surface area.
Yeah, you know what? Ask anybody who sells beer, and they'll tell you that the key to beer is salt and ketchup. Because when you eat that stuff, it tastes so much better when you got something that tastes good to wash it down. Soft drink people will tell you the same thing. The key to Coke is salt.
So, right.
Interesting.
No, the website should be ready next week, and then I'll share it with you guys.
Okay, one more final serious question. Mac, I didn't hear your first hour today. Did you talk about the aviation accidents? Do you believe this is in part sequestration and then the effect of that? I'll give you my answer, and then Mike can give you his. It's the effect of not enough money, too many aircraft being down for maintenance, and the air crews not being able to fly enough. And so while they may be quote-unquote current, you know, they're not proficient, and the distance between current and proficient is about 15 hours a month, and so you're seeing that. Now, I don't know what happened in any one of these mishaps this week, but you have a toxic environment for aviation when you can't fly enough and 50% of your aircraft are down at any one time, and that 50% is an improvement from 75%.
Well, when they reduce the requirement, so you know, say it's, for argument's sake, it's 40 hours a month. You got to get 40 hours of flight time to be proficient. And then when they start this whole money thing and the aircraft frames and everything else are being affected, and they can't get it, then what they do is they reevaluate and say, okay, you can do 30 hours, and then you got to do your extra 10 in the simulator.
Right.
And so adjusting the numbers. And, you know, and like Rudy will tell you, there's nothing like the real thing. It's like shooting, man. I mean, you can do simulation shooting. You can shoot in a sim all they want. But it doesn't prepare you for the real thing.
And
you can't do the real thing.
Yeah, so, and again, you're talking about, I don't know who the pilot was of the Aviate B in Djibouti, you know, in the Air Force's case, you know, a lot like the mishap we saw with the Blue Angels a couple years ago, they're a little bit different. But I would say this is their third mishap in 2 years. That, to me.
Ooh, the Thunderbirds?
Yeah, the Thunderbirds. That gets my attention. That's too many.
Yeah, they've had three in the last couple of years. I know that.
Yeah, that's too many. And then the rest of them, we'll see when the investigation comes out. But the environment for aviation is not good, and it's that sequestration shit that has done it. So, all right, man. Hey, have a good weekend. Right. Tell all the boys at the club I said hey.
All right, I'll tell you later. I'll talk to them.
All right, there you have it. Michael Musselman here on a Friday. Another email. Mac, interesting discussion about gender and where the Marine Corps is with it and the truth. If you were on active duty, would you participate in such a discussion? Probably not. Yeah, sad, but no, I'll say this. Because let me tell you, you're not saying that you know, women aren't suited for the Marine Corps or they're not trying hard. But when you want to go to, men's town, right? When you want to go to become an infantryman, that's a tall order physically. It's a tall order for guys. And so there's no editorial comment. Okay. Just don't lower the standards. First of all, find a standard. The Marine Corps has done that. Don't mess with the standard. And then there's hard questions that have to be asked. For instance, a headquarters battalion or a combat logistics battalion does not hike the way an infantry battalion hikes. I will tell you that. They hike slower. Ask them. Why? Because there's females in those units. And unless they want to have a demotivational event, then you got to slow the hike down. And that's simply a statement of fact. Now, that's not a negative comment about anybody, but gender does have its differences. And so as long as everybody is not afraid of that, and then you get into hard issues like people that are assigned to an infantry battalion. Well, I'd refuse those orders if I didn't think I could get up a mountain at Camp Pendleton with 1st Battalion, 1st Marines. I'd refuse those orders. Why? Because it's going to detrimentally impact my career. I'm better than all these other staff NCOs as a female, but if you send me to 1-1, that's probably not going to work out well for me. Is that going to end my career? Is that going to impact my career? I don't want that. But the Marine Corps is going to force me there? But once I'm sent there, should I be held to a different standard than the PFC female type that's a rifleman in 1-1? That would be the argument that there is a different standard. So, again, not sorted out. So, we'll talk about it some more. Because, again, there's people that use these arguments as a springboard. For instance, they use the social argument that the reason these social problems exist in the Marine Corps is because of first phase being segregated at boot camp. And so they want to see that go away. So they take these Marines United idiots and they say the reason this exists is because of that. Trying to win their point. Where the Marine Corps has said, okay, we'll look at it. And after they looked at it, they have said, sorry, we don't buy it. We don't buy it. So, all right. Have a great weekend. This program repeats itself starting right now. Interesting discussion, though. More of that coming up next right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network. And do check out the website. I'd be curious any comments you have about it. Try to make it user-friendly for phones because a lot of people listen on phones. And yet the front page, trying to find a way to display all the different people that have come on this program and contribute to it, from the Commandant to Eric Hamill, the author, to Lauren Serrano, who's written two articles, to the Deputy Commandant for Aviation, Lieutenant General John Davis, to Colonel Duffy White, CO of 1st LAR in the March Up, CO of RCT-3 in Afghanistan, Sebastian Younger, who wrote the book Tribe, to Charlie Niemeyer, Historical Division Director, during the change of the flag raisers, of the second flag raising, Bing West, Cal Humphrey, PFC squad leader on Iwo Jima, Ken Falk, former Master Chief Petty Officer in the Navy. I mean, and so trying to find a way to display that. So if you look at the website for 30 seconds, you will probably see, every 5 seconds you would see three. If you look at it on your desktop computer, if you looked at the website for 30 seconds, you would see 6 times 3. You would see 18 different interviews that we've done. Hopefully that would pick your curiosity enough to say, hey, man, let me check this out and go to the podcast page. So that's what we've tried to done. That's what we've tried to done. But I would go ahead and accept any comments that you all have made about seeing something else if you care for it. So anyway, have a great weekend on a Friday. Out.